Beth, Fred,
there are 15 people present.
Okay. All right. Then let's start with a roll call. I don't know whether we have enough actual members to reach quorum yet, but I bet by the time we get to the end of the list, we likely will. So, from the top of the list, Fred Blair.
Present.
Thank you. Bella DeSoto.
Present.
Thank you. Michael Novick.
Present.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas. Paulina Basirias. I'm here. I've heard from Lydia Ponce that she will be joining us shortly. Marvel
Lydia Ponce
Eiser.
Here.
Lydia Ponce is here. I'll make her present. Okay, it's her first meeting. Margot Eiser. Is Margot present? Maybe not. Ruth Strauss.
I'm here.
Thank you. Dr. Holly. It's been a while since he's been here. Andrew Wise.
Presented, and I may need to leave early. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got you down as present. Raymond Goldstone.
Present.
Thank you. Bruce Grief. Seen him in a while either. Jonathan Markowitz, I heard before. Jonathan?
Yes, here.
Thank you. Thank you. Maria Skelton.
Here, and thank you.
Thank you. Stuart Landau.
I am here.
Hi. Thank you for coming. And welcome.
Thank you.
I don't know whether the new GM, Miquel Calzada, has been able to make time to come or not. I haven't heard from him yet. We haven't gotten to talk. If he's here or shows up later, then welcome. And if not, we'll catch up soon. I hope he'll be able to take part in these meetings or send someone from this point on. Thank you. And people who've already mentioned that they're here, Michael Hyde.
Yep.
Hi, thank you. And Ralph Hawkins. Ralph
here.
Hawkins here? Okay, thank
here.
You. Others who've been frequent visitors in the past, Nancy Lawrence. And Laura Levitson.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Sasha, is it Kalik? Kalik? Is there anybody I've missed who cares to be noted? Everyone's welcome. There's no requirement that you identify yourself or weigh in. But if you want your attendance to count toward eventual membership, then this would be the time to let me know that you're present. So for the record, in keeping with the KPFK committee rules, rules require that all committees have at least one more LSB member than members of the public, because all LSB members are already elected to represent membership. And we have four of us who've attended enough meetings, three meetings in a row, to qualify as members of this committee, and that's Fred, Bella, Michael, and myself. There are others who've attended at times, but not yet enough meetings or enough in a row to count. And then from the general public, there are, right now we qualify for up to three members of the general public, because we have four LSB members. And for the time being, that's Margot Iser, Ruth Strauss, and Dr. Halle, although he hasn't been here now in a number of months, so I should check with him to be sure if he wants to continue. And there are at least a couple more who would qualify for membership if there were a space available, made available by another LSB member joining. And so there are people I've called out today, and we can talk about the potential on down the line. I mark each person's first meeting so that I know how long they've been attending, and when they meet that bar of three meetings in a row, so that I know that they would be qualified when a space opens up. And as spaces do, I'll check with each of those people in chronological order to see whether they indeed want to become formal members of the committee.
Michael?
Yes. I'm sorry, am I recognized?
Yes, it's just the sound is kind of garbled.
Okay, sorry. I think Lawrence was trying to say that he was present at the same time that I was trying to speak.
Okay.
I'm going to suggest that regardless of membership on the committee, that we allow everybody on the call to have a voice but not vote who is not a member, so that people can participate in the discussion as it goes along.
That has been the standing tradition of this committee. We've never restricted anybody from speaking, but we've had good order here, so there's never been a need to intervene in disputes or anything. So I'll move on now to ground rules.
Lawrence, chair to the stack real quick. I just want to announce myself that I'm here.
Thank you. So you got the notice. Good. And
yeah,
I'm writing you in.
Janine is on the call as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Janine. Okay. I got you both down. Thanks. And we'll move on to ground rules. Please mute your phone unless you have the floor. That's so that the rest of us can hear, because unmuted phones tend to interrupt with the ability of everybody else to hear. And then please wait to speak until you're acknowledged. And then rule number three is no personal attacks. So we're working our way through the call to order. We've done roll call. I sent an agenda with the announcement earlier this afternoon. Are there any amendments or to that agenda? If there are no amendments, yes.
Madam Chair, this is Bella.
Yes, Bella.
Can we go over the agenda since you just sent it out? I am now opening it so that it's on the stream, or you can read it for the stream so people know the order.
Yes.
Thank you.
I read down as far as agenda. The body of this meeting will be a continuation of our discussion from last month, KPFK Radio Roundtable. What's your pleasure? We're going to review some of the same questions that our new GM would have responded to when we were getting to know him. So, first of all, what is your assessment of the strengths and weaknesses of the current KPFK broadcasting grid as far as content, format, scheduling, and other factors? And we spent some time on that last month. We can start with that again. We can move on to why do you think our audience is so small and how can we increase it? And then what techniques or criteria would you use to ensure regular evaluation and improvement of program offerings? So we're going to do this as a roundtable among everyone who's present. I guess I'll take a stack and feel free to address any part of that that you want to. We'll put let's start with 90 seconds. Is there anyone who would volunteer to be a timekeeper so we can try to be fair about how we divvy up the time? Anybody? Or I can try to do it with a timer. See how far I get. Hang on just a sec. Okay. I'll take a stack. Who wants to begin with this and who wants to speak after that?
Jonathan on the stack.
Okay, we have you down first. Anybody else?
Beth, do you need help with the time? This is Maria Skeffin. I can try.
Thank you so much. Yes, I would appreciate that. I'll be much less distracted if I can pay attention to the actual proceedings. Thank you so much, Maria.
I'll go ahead and volunteer Ruth to the stack.
Ruth, okay.
Bella to the stack.
And then Michael Heiss, please.
Stuart Landau.
I'm sorry, I just have a question. How much time allowed? How do you want to recognize the time? 1 minute, 2 minutes? Let them know when it's 15 minutes?
I think our standard standard for public comment is generally 90 seconds for each round, and we always try to hear from those who haven't spoken before first. And then if there's time after that, we'll move on to a second round if people want to do that.
Beth, you can move me to the end of the stack because there are a lot of people that haven't spoken before. Thank you.
And Michael noted that stack.
Okay, hang on just a second. Okay, so far I have Jonathan, Bella, Michael Heiss, Stuart Landau, Raymond Goldstone, Michael Novick, Ruth Strauss, and if you want your name added to the stack, let me know. You can either wait and announce it let me know between speakers, or feel free to text me. Text reaches me easily.
Beth, I'm sorry, can we do just a sample? Is this too loud? Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Because I don't want it to be too loud when someone is talking and then it cuts them out completely. So
right.
I just wanted to make sure we're all right. So it's 90 seconds, a minute and a half, and
yes.
We let them know when they have 15 seconds left or something, or 30 seconds?
15 seconds warning would be good. Thank you.
Okay. Just want to make sure my speaker wasn't too loud. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll start with Jonathan.
Yes. I just was curious why this meeting is not being streamed over KPFTX. The meeting is listed, but there's no reference to an agenda and there's no streaming of the meeting. Do you know why?
Streaming of the meeting requires someone who has those technical capabilities to be available. I don't have those technical capabilities. Streaming of the meetings is good, but it's not required. And so I'm not in a position to make that available because of the limitations of my own abilities. And until recently, this committee hasn't had that much attention. But if the committee continues to grow and there's sufficient interest and someone available to do that, we can discuss that option.
Okay, I have a follow-up question, and is this meeting being recorded, and does this meeting require a quorum?
This meeting is being recorded. It's one of the reasons I always opt for the Maestro call system, because it's automatically recorded so that it's not reliant on me to know how or to remember. It's available, and it will be archived afterward. And there was another part to that question. What was
That's
the
all.
Next
Thank
part?
You.
Okay. All right. Yes, it is being recorded. Thank you. Bella?
Yes. I was, many of us, or some of us that were here last time, were working. I had sent out a clean slate or template of a programming grid that I created. And I had sent, since the beginning of the year, several samples of already working grids, programming grids, past grids, and the most current one that I had available to me that I was able to work with. But that they're obsolete, of course. But what is not obsolete, and I keep saying this, is the template that I sent out. And the reason being is
I don't know who that was, but I hope someone will mute. Thank you.
I did not understand. Oh, okay. Yes, I suggested that we use that as a working template. To move sort of furniture around programming that we feel with consensus from everybody. And I said before that we would not agree on everything, but a workable programming grid to then present to the general manager. Thank you.
Beth, do you want to give Bella a few more minutes because her time was, I mean, not minutes, a few more seconds because her time was cut in unfairly? Or was she finished with her conversation, with her question?
Bella, did you want another few seconds?
Yes. Thank you, Maria, for that. Sure. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to develop your thought, it's difficult to just finalize it completely. But I had submitted that to this committee several times, and some of the people here know about it. I propose that we go back to that and utilize it.
Point of order.
Yes,
Bella, if you're recording what you're saying while you're saying it, it's creating a lot of echo on the line.
Who said that I am recording? I am not recording this this meeting. Who said that I'm recording?
You told me you had been recording another one, and I have the same kind of echo and feedback.
No, I am not recording. Someone else may be.
Thank you, Michael. And fortunately, it stopped now, so I guess it's no longer a problem.
But I am not recording, by the way, so whoever was recording must have stopped.
I don't know. I'm not in a position to determine that, but I'm glad that it stopped.
Let's check. Is it me? Is it me? Okay, I'm trying to see if you hear echo when I'm on because I have it on the speakers. Okay, so it's not me. I just wanted to check if it was me that had an echo.
Thank you. At the moment, it's not. For what it's worth, I'm making notes of everybody's comments, and they will be delivered to the GM. I haven't gotten to meet with him yet, but I hope to soon, and I'll present him with this and comments from all the recent previous Programming Oversight Committee meetings. So I'm taking notes as people speak. So Michael Hyde?
Yes, thank you. A quick question to Bella's program grid suggestion. Is there a way to post that to Michael's KPFKLSD news site or some other site so that those who are not members can access it? And just regarding programming, I guess it's speak the obvious that I think the general consensus of all the meetings that one attends these days is that we really need to emphasize reestablishing a news department and finding some programming that appeals to millennials and younger listeners. Sorry, I'm writing an article about video. Younger listeners, and to make that known to the new GM, because those two programming types would seem to be the way to attract new and more listeners. That's it.
Thank you, Michael.
May I respond, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, to real quickly to Michael's suggestion?
Very, very briefly, Stella.
What I have done, Michael, is send it to Beth in the past, and I can send it to everybody on this list. In fact, I can do that now. So I'll try doing that. I may not have everybody's. I think I do. Yeah, I have everybody's email. Okay. I don't know.
Thanks, Bell. I only ask because since I'm not a member at this point, you might not have my address, the email address, or that of some of the other people who are listeners but not committee members.
Right. I do have yours.
Thank you.
Thank you. So next would be Stuart.
That was for Stuart? Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Let me introduce myself. I am the chief engineer of the station, member of management. I've had a chance to spend quite a bit of time with our new general manager so far. He's only been here since Wednesday. And I'm sure he welcomes all opinions. Without a program manager, and we've been without a program manager for quite a long time, I mean, we're a boat without a rudder, and the morale in the station has gotten very poor. The programming decisions have been done by sort of an ad hoc group within the station. Some of it depending on how much money a given program is able to bring in during the fund drive. So it's just a terrible situation. People are worried about getting fired. People are worrying about the future of the station. We got another payroll problem coming up at the end of the month. We just made payroll on the 15th by the skin of our teeth. So it's an immediate problem. But basically, we've got a product that most people don't want to listen to.
15 seconds.
We need to figure out what to do about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Andrew,
thank you. I just want to extend my appreciation to Stuart for attending today. It's the first time we've had excuse me, we've
Beth,
had.
Can you do that away from the mic? Thank you.
The mic is I'm going to ask you in particular, Bella, for reasonable accommodation on this. This is a matter of disability on my part. The cough comes on suddenly. It's spasmodic. By the time I switch three screens over to a different screen, it's over. The microphone is wired to my head. So we'll just have to cope. If I'm coughing when someone else is speaking, I can mute. If it catches me in the middle, you'll just have to cope. So thank you. I was in the middle of thanking Stuart for attending today. It's the first time we've had regular paid staff members attend this meeting, and I think it can go a long way to help breaching some of the we need to have someone mute. Please, could someone mute?
Straight out of Compton at the same time.
I don't know who that is.
But
we have extraneous noise on the line. Thank you.
Point of order, it is Ruth, Beth.
Ruth?
It is not me. I'm muted. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Well, then maybe someone in a better position to... I'm not in a position to know who it is. If you could let me know, or just be aware that it's you and mute. Thank you. So as I was saying, I want to thank Stuart for coming today. It's the first time we've had a regular paid staff member from within the station join us. I think it can go a long way to bridging the gaps between in communication between members and board and staff. So thank you, Stuart. And next is Raymond.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to just make a couple of comments. I've heard a good many people talk about how we have to have listener call-in shows. And I don't happen to agree. I don't find them particularly interesting, but what's worse is that unless you have a very experienced host, it's lousy radio. Second point is that call-ins to or for LSB and whoever else has been voted to have those things. I think you will discover that they are of more interest to those who want to call in or be interviewed than anyone who hasn't already listened to KPFK or anyone else. I think I'm running out of time. I did want to make one comment about programming.
15 seconds?
Yes. I think that, well, I'll wait till the next time. Thank you.
Thank you. And next up on the stack is Michael Novick.
Hey, Beth, pardon me. Andrew here. Can you announce?
Oh, did I? Thank you. Yes, you're right. Forgive me, Michael. I think that Andrew was first as I got the names down. I missed yours. Thank you for reminding me, Andrew.
No, I think other people were ahead of me, but I was wondering if you could give us kind of the next people who are coming up so we can prepare ourselves, like who's up and who are the next one or two people coming up. Good. And Michael and others can go.
I'll do my best to do that. As you can see, I managed to scramble the order just in what I'm trying to keep track of now, but I will do my best. So I don't remember which so the next two people I had up were Michael Novick and Ruth, and I don't remember, Andrew, whether you were before them or after. If you can refresh my memory, I'll be glad to honor that.
Beth, I'm after them. Andrew's after them.
Okay, thank you.
Jonathan on the stack, please.
Okay, thank you. So then Michael Novick is next. Michael?
Okay, yeah, on the question of how to evaluate the programming, I had a motion last year to the local station board, and it was defeated twice. I'm not sure why. It was opposed by people who said there was a national evaluation policy directed at the PDs to take into account how much money the shows were making. My proposal was that annually all the shows have a four-part evaluation process. Self-evaluation by the programmer and producers themselves, peer evaluation by other people, other programs and producers, listener evaluation through mechanisms like focus groups or feedback forms, and then management evaluation. And so I don't think it interferes with whatever the PNB policy was, so I question that policy, but that would be only affecting what the PD or management would do. So I'd like to advocate that again, that we try again this year, and I'm proposing that as an annual evaluation process. I had a couple of other comments. I've been sending the management regularly various podcasts and other sources of content I think would be very helpful. One of them got picked up, I think, only on the archive and podcast that's produced by people who work with people in foster care and houseless kids who do podcasting themselves. There's also one called Everyday Injustice out of Davis, Vanguard. They have people who go into the criminal courts.
Time, please.
They have a cadre of young people from UCLA that are going into courts here in LA, and they do a 40-minute podcast that can be supplemented by those people. I think that would improve the programming a lot.
Thank you, Michael. Ruth?
Yes, first of all, I just want to say whoever said that my phone was the one, the interference was talking. I was not talking, and the phone was on mute, so your equipment is not working well. Okay, so I really like Michael's idea of having a multifactorial evaluation, and, of course, I think the committee, you know, obviously should have input, but we are trying to involve listeners as well, and unfortunately, I got a very terse letter from Ann Yell saying he doesn't know where any of the evaluations are. It doesn't sound like he's interested in telling us or doesn't know. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to say is there, you know, we have some student universities like KUSC, KCRW. I'm sure there are other ones. I think Michael may have mentioned them, and they may be people that, you know, are able to recruit other people that, you know, might have program ideas that are young people that could fill in. And I'll stop now. I certainly have opinions about certain programs, but I'll just throw that out. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're back to the
Bella to the stack again, please.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to be sure I get that down. Okay, next up is Andrew Weiss, and after him will be Jonathan.
Thank you, Beth, and I'm outside, so I apologize for any noise here. First of all, I want to thank Stuart for attending. I wasn't aware if he said that he's part of management. I wasn't aware we had someone named Stuart part of management. So given that, that's wonderful that he's here participating. I hope we get more management and more staff participating. That said, I think the most important thing would be a report dialogue with the listener on a regular basis. The new manager, I asked him at the LSB meeting if he would commit to doing that, given the mandate by the PNB, and he said he wasn't aware of the PNB mandate, but that he will abide by it if that's the case, as well as having the LSB do monthly reports and dialogues with the listener, with call-ins, so we can know who is managing our station, who the staff are, and communicate with them. Hopefully people like Stuart will come on those reports, dialogues, and communicate with the listeners. Secondly, I think that should be a weekly show. We should even be doing even more of it. And then thirdly, I think call-ins for all shows with call screeners. call screeners to focus the calls, to let people on who haven't spoken before. And someone like Desi Doyen from the Radcast does a very good job of doing that, focusing the question and arranging the people to speak. So we have a fair balance.
Time,
so people like myself who call in lots don't always dominate. And that's all. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you. Next up is Thomas Internet. After that is Bella. Was there a question? Someone has an open line again. So next up is Jonathan, followed by Bella.
Thank you. One of the participants on the call is recording using an open speaker on the playback. It's causing a loop, so whoever is recording needs to mute their phone, and then we won't have an echo. Okay, so what I wanted to say is I think the key to understanding the reason that we originally made sure we had an elected LSB board structure, which was a process that really went from 1999 through 2003, is because of the fact that the listeners have, you know, for decades been pretty much cut out of all of the determining process regarding the business of the station and the foundation, but especially the on-air content. And although the bylaws definitely need to be adjusted and improved, and we're probably going to get to that, hopefully, quite soon, I do urge those who seem to think that listeners should not have any input upon not only reaching the listeners over the airwaves, but during committees and meetings, is completely inappropriate. And is completely misunderstanding the whole point of our democratic structure. So I do implore those who have this perception to rethink it. Thank you.
Bella will be next up, but I'm going to take a moment to ask if there are others who want to get on the stack now, and specifically Maria. Do you want to turn on the stack? I want to make sure you don't get left out because you're managing our time.
No, I just want to make sure that y'all can hear me say 15 and time, please. And if
okay.
You give me all of the names real quick, I can write them down and try to help you if you need help on that. But
okay.
No, I just wanted – I'm fine if you could hear me. I'm fine. Thank you so much
okay.
for offering.
Sure. It really helps me that you're willing to do that. That makes it possible for me then to manage the names. At the moment, Bella's the only one on the stack. The Slim's stopping now to give people another chance to get back on the stack. If there's something more you wanted to say than what you got to, or you have new thoughts now, we're taking a separate round.
Yes, this is Mike Heist. I have a question to put in the stack. For Stuart, that very much relates to the topic, please.
Okay. You'll be after Bella. Anybody else?
Hello. Yes, this is Laura Levinson. I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Do I remember that Raymond Goldstone paused and saying he'd save the rest for later?
And I would like to speak again, but I think there are some others before me.
Okay. All right. Then we'll wait. You let me know when you're ready.
Thank you very much.
Beth, do you have the stack under control? You're fine with the stack?
I do. Right now we've just got three and someone for later. So we'll go ahead with Bella now, and after that will be Mike Heist.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So Bella DeSoto here.
Stuart, hi there. Thank you for joining us. I have some issues here. I understand that the programming, when you mentioned the ad hoc internally at KPFK to conduct and make decisions on programming, has been Maggie Lepik, Ali Lexa, and Mark Maxwell. I can understand out of necessity how this would have been done, except that no one really knows what's going on at the station because the station systematically has been on lockdown. And so that does not inspire me. The other thing is that Sonali Kahatkar resigned, but she's still on the grid, and I need to know why that is. And then the other thing is two issues. I got an email yesterday from a listener regarding the person that has replaced Ian Masters, which may be even worse. And his name is Rick Smith, and he sounds like Rush Limbaugh. KPFK needs this like a hole in the head. The other thing is in a Democratic Party hat.
15 seconds.
The other thing is, real quickly, Graham, who is the ex-producer or assistant
do you want to give her another few seconds for being interrupted?
One second. And Graham, I forget his first name, Graham, Ian Masters' former assistant, to now start the community calendar. I'm very concerned about these turn of events, if you could address them. Thank you.
Ruth to the stack, thank you.
I'll invite Stuart to address those things if he cares to, but I didn't really bring him here to put him on the spot. I hadn't warned him about this being an interrogation or whatever. If there was
this
anything,
is no interrogation. This is no interrogation. Please, do not mischaracterize the question. And his staff, he's the chief engineer.
Oh, yes, he is. But I will leave it up to him whether he wants to respond now or not. I
could. Could if you'd like.
Okay. Is it okay if I put you after the next two people because they're already on the stack? Is that okay?
Of course.
Stuart?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, then. Then we'll go, actually. The next speaker, or the next person on the stack, is Mike Heiss, who has a question for Stuart.
Yes, thank you. And actually, Stuart, I have an engineering question, which is, I guess, really a responsibility. In order to do a program grid, you need to know how much time you have available to program. And in order to expand the amount of time and the amount of programming that's available to fill with appropriate content, I was wondering if you can address the topic as to the possibility of adding HD2 and HD3 streams. In the course of my normal business, I've spoken to HD Radio and Xperi about other matters, but I did ask them if KPFK has a license, and they said that the station did, but obviously there might be some other equipment, an exciter or whatever, that might be necessary. It would be great if you could address whether or not that is something that's possible, and if so, recognizing the financial crisis, if that's something that can be done. I believe that KPFW has an HD2 and an HD3 stream, and again, the more content we can put out over the existing carrier, the more diversity of programming, and again, listeners equals supporters, and you can't have supporters without listeners. Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
We've got Stuart on the stack as it is, and I think we're going to leave him right there and go ahead and hear from Laura Levinson. I should read your name. I should look at your name when I'm saying.
Hi, Laura.
Okay, Laura Levinson.
Yes.
I'll let you go ahead now, and Stuart will be up next, and you can take any of the questions. Go ahead, Laura.
Okay. Thank you. This is just my opinion. I have no data to back it up or not. It's just my subjective thing. I agree with the caller. I don't recall who said that call-in shows to him are not that interesting and you need a skilled host. I would say if you were going to have it, you would need a skilled host and a skilled question fielder. But even more important, you need an interesting show. I would only turn in if the show itself and the host itself were interesting to me. And personally, I find that I would rather listen to call-ins from people from marginalized communities. I'm really bored to tears with hearing, I'm a white woman, hearing white women and white, you know, lefty and liberal men talking. They ask questions, but really what they want to do is, you know, voice their own same opinions. So that's me. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Laura. And that brings us back to Stuart.
Beth, I have a question real quick, please. This is Maria Skelton. Sorry for the interruption. Since he has asked two or three questions, are we going to give him just a total of 3 or 4 minutes? Because what is it, a minute and a half? So he has three questions, I think, to answer, 3 or 4 questions. So how much time? Or just an open time for him, since there's a lot of questions he has to answer.
Two things here. I'd like to give him like the regular 90 seconds to respond to each of those two previous speakers, 90 for Bella's questions and 90 for Michael Heiss's questions. And then while he's speaking, I'll put this idea out there now so the committee can be thinking about it. What do you think about the possibility of inviting back Stuart and anyone else he thinks from the radio station who can address these kinds of things, just to give us a basic presentation of sort of the state of our tech, what we do, what we can do, what we've done in the past that maybe we aren't doing now. I know I've had a lot of questions about that. One of the things that I ran on when I was a candidate. Excuse me, I was interrupted. What?
Madam Chair, can we let Stuart go first, please?
I will let Stuart go in a moment, Bella. Right now, I'm putting forth an idea for your consideration and for Stuart's consideration before we ask him to answer that. So please consider what I'm saying now, and we'll take up the issue later. I'm putting it out now because it's about Stuart and the technology, I should say, about our chief engineer, whoever wears that hat. And I will continue with what I was saying, and then we'll turn to Stuart. When I ran for the LSB a couple years ago, one of the primary planks in my platform was a signal quality, because I'm from one of the outlying areas, and for us, KPFK is like a real lifeline to the rest of the progressive community when we can hear it, but it's really, really marginal out there. So at some point, I'd love to have a greater, longer conversation about that. So I hope that we can invite Stuart back for when we give him a chance to think ahead and prepare what he wants to say, and then we can have more questions for him. For another meeting, for a future meeting. But for now, we'll go ahead and take his responses to the two previous speakers. Stuart?
Okay, very good. But Mike, to answer your question, first of all, let me explain. The HD radio provides a digital copy of the main program plus up to two additional independent programs. It sounds very, very good. We could probably, at minimum expense, add HD 2 and 3. I'm sorry, HD 1 is the primary program. HD 2 would be additional. But we can, you know, you could run additionals. My big question at this point is, where are we going to get 24 hours a day of programming to fill that? We're having difficulty right now. And this gets back to the other question. Without people like Ian on the air and Sonali, who are bringing in a good audience, we've got a real programming problem. And since there was no guidance from a program director or guidance to the staff about from a full-time general manager, they did the best they could with what they had. Now, Mo had brought in some programming from Washington, D.C., which is fine. And but we're sadly lacking it. I liken this to a bakery that has a financial problem. So who do they get rid of first? They get rid of the baker, figuring they can work around it. Well, we got rid of the program director first. And we've been paying the price ever since. Thank you.
15
seconds.
Thank you.
Jonathan on the stack, please.
Okay. And before we take your questions or comments, Jonathan, I'll ask, we can take more people to the stack now if other people would care.
Going into the stack.
Okay, thank you.
And I also had put my name in for the stack.
Okay, thank you.
A while ago.
Ruth,
and,
sorry
Michael
if I missed you.
Can you put Michael Lovick back on as well? Thank you.
Yes, I'm writing it down right now.
Okay. Andrew Weiss, Beth.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then. Then Ray, I think Raymond is next.
I'm next?
I think so. Like, we just finished with Stuart, right? Did you get your turn? Remind me. Laura?
Yes, yes, I got my turn. I gave a very personal opinion.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I just didn't want to miss you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure. Then Raymond's up next. And after that is Ruth.
Okay. I don't know how this is going to be counted by time, but I'm curious, Stuart, and by the way, thank you for what you've been doing. How much would it cost, round numbers, to do HD? Can Stuart answer that?
If that's a simple, if there's a simple dollar figure to that, maybe we should take more questions for Stuart and work our way back around to him again, because I have a feeling that we don't often have this opportunity. So,
well, I would like
to do that.
Know the answer to that before I go on.
Oh, okay. Stuart, do you know what it would cost to do?
I mean, not to
set us up to do HD. I don't know. Maybe I don't know if he's still with us.
Beth, I'm sorry for interrupting, but this came up at some point, and Dave Johnson said it was very expensive. Believe me, I do not know anything about it, but I do remember his making that comment once, and I could be wrong or he could be wrong, but since you didn't have anybody else answering, I did want to say that. Thank you.
This is my impression that it isn't that expensive if we have the license.
If I may, we do have the license.
I know.
What HD Radio told me, and I did not represent myself as having anything to do with the station. I just asked a general question, and also in the Pacifica Technology Committee, which I've listened to, they've said it's not extraordinarily expensive. It's reasonably affordable, and I would just throw in that virtually every car radio from the last few years has HD radio, so that's a great way to get more people to listen. But from what I understand, being in that part of the business, it's not terribly expensive.
This is Michael Lovitz. I'm sorry.
One moment. I just wanted to say I don't remember whether I had Michael Heist back on the stack or not, but if so, that was his turn, and if he wants another question, I'd be happy to put him down again.
No, my apologies. I was answering the question. My apologies.
Okay, thank you. And
Beth, Fred here.
Michael? Fred, yes?
Stuart appears to have left conference.
I'm back.
Okay.
I'm back.
Right. Stuart, this is Beth.
Yeah, can you hear me? Yes, I'm here.
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. We all hear you.
Okay.
So there have been, we're going further down the stack, and there are other questions coming up for you, one of which had to do with how much HD radio costs, what it would cost us to do that. And I realize as we go further down the people, it's not unlikely that we'll come up with more questions for you. So I'm collecting questions for you again, if that's okay with you.
Well, I hear my time. So he could answer that. It was an hour ago, but
it was an hour ago, almost. And there's been so much disruption since then. To try to regain that order, Raymond wanted to know if there's a brief answer to what would it cost for us to do HD radio, or if that's a discussion in its own, then I can save it for your response in a few people.
Mo had indicated that he had some equipment that he could give us.
Ooh.
We have the antenna we could use. It's already in place. Most of the expense would be just getting the studio equipment set up and a means of transmitting it up to the mountain. I believe the rest of the actual transmitting would be very minimal with any additional cost.
Okay. So was that the full extent of your question, Raymond, or were there other questions you didn't get to ask yet?
That was the question I had for Mr. Lambert.
Fucking get off.
What?
I don't know who that was. I don't know what they said, but somebody needs to mute. Okay, then, Raymond, thank you. And we'll go on. I'm taking further notes for follow-up with Stuart later. And next up on the stack is Ruth. And after Ruth will be Michael Novick.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I have listened to the Rick Smith show for 2 weeks. Admittedly, I didn't like sit down in a chair and listen to the whole thing, but I heard parts of it. I have no idea. I mean, I know who said that about Rush Limbaugh. I think it's a gross exaggeration. I think it's totally wrong. I think this person had on a labor, representative. Anyway, the bottom line is, the reason why I'm saying this is it just underlines exactly what Michael was talking about, that we really have to have a democratic process before we go fooling with the grid. And I think that all the places that he listed input, I think that's a great idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. Michael Novick, you're up next. And after that will be Andrew.
Okay, I want to say a couple of things. One is that our listenership, as small as it is, drops off drastically when we switch from public affairs to music, and I think a lot of people actually tune us out and turn over to a KPCC for Air Talk, which is substantially a call-in show. I think the call-in shows can be, you know, very popular and attract a lot of listeners, actually, if they're well handled. So the fact that something needs a talented host or you know, someone to screen calls, as Andrew suggested, is not a reason not to do it. I think that Mo did say that the CPB, I'm sorry, the CPB or the FCC, somebody covered the cost of extending our license to cover HD, and so that part of the cost would be not necessary. And we do have, we bought two transmitters essentially some years ago, so I think that they have the capacity to split the signal in the way that's necessary. I do think that we need to be very cautious. There are always proposals to move all the Spanish language programming, for example, to HD. I think that would be a serious mistake. They did something similar at the KPFC, which does have an HD channel, at least one out to Rice, and the other one, they put all the people of color and Hispanic and African-American programs on HD. That should not be what's done if we add HD. I think there is a vast amount of content out there that could be added, and people have HD are primarily more processed people who own new cars, and so that's if something is targeted to them, it's not the Spanish language programming. That should be on the main signal.
Thank you. Next up is Andrew Weiss, and then after Andrew, Stuart again. Thank you.
Jonathan on the stack, please.
Okay, thank you. So, Andrew, you're up.
Thank you, Beth. My comment, once again, well, I think this is very valuable, having this discussion that we're having as well with the one of our managers of the station. I think it's great. We ought to continue this. But in addition to this, not as a substitute, but in addition to this, it's obvious to me that the listeners and the LSB members need and want more interaction with management and with staff and what's going on with our station. And so once again, it's obvious to me the most important thing would be, first and foremost, a monthly report dialogue with the listeners with call-in, and even better so, a weekly show where we have these discussions. There's so much to discuss, so much going on. And what other radio stations come on the air and discuss with their listeners what's going on with the station, communicate with them, inform them, take their input. Nobody, as far as I know, that would make us unique. And I think people would listen in and not say, this is boring. They would say, wow, this is great. I get to participate and give my input. And once again, call-in shows for all the programs so they can give feedback as well to the hosts, to the guests, ask questions that are not being asked, and give feedback to the host to know where the listeners are, what they're hearing, what they're not hearing. Is it hitting with them or is it not hitting? And again, with good screening, good call screeners, so it's not just the same people who like to be heard, people like myself, white guys, or vocal other people who just want to be heard or who like to call in. Good screening and good focusing of the callers. Thank you.
Raymond to the stack.
Ruth to the stack. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Stuart, and after that will be Jonathan, and I'm putting down Raymond and Ruth. Okay, go ahead, Stuart.
All right, thank you. We've done our best in terms of engineering to provide very wide signal coverage. We have the potential probably for at least 12 million listeners, and we're falling right down to the bottom of the stack in terms of what we actually have. I think if we're talking about looking at the grid, everything should be on the table, including the evening, which I consider prime time, Spanish broadcasting. I don't believe they've even paid for their own electricity, bringing in enough money to pay for the time that they're on the air and the electricity that's used for that. So, but what we lack is any connection with the local community. We have no local affairs or news. And that was also one of the first things that disappeared. We had a past member of the local board who is a retired news person. He has asked to do a show, and it's gone nowhere. And his name is Doug Kriegel, and he recently did a pilot for a show for older folks like myself and perhaps some of you. And I heard it's a very good show. It would be wonderful. And I certainly thank you all for having me on here. And I would love to talk to anybody that wants to speak to me on the phone or via email. It'd be welcome. It's slandau@kpfk.org. slandau@kpfk.org. Thank you.
Thank you, Stuart. And next is Raymond, followed by, excuse me, I'm sorry, my mistake. Next is Jonathan, followed by Raymond.
Okay, this question is for Stuart regarding this HD radio. I'm not quite familiar with it, although I did hear that this is being used at KPFT in Houston. Can you explain to me if this type of system has already been used at KPFK, number one? Number two, does this mean that whatever programming is broadcast over HD radio, does that mean it does not go out over the regular signal? And are you proposing any particular programs that are currently on the regular signal be put on HD signal alone and not being broadcast over the regular signal? Thank you.
Sorry, this is Maria Skelton. Please excuse the interruption. Is my fan too loud? I don't want it interrupting anyone speaking.
I don't hear it.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Thank you. So next up, I'm going to save all the questions for Stuart. There'll be, as we work through another couple of people, and then when we get around to that point in the stack again, if Stuart is still with us and willing to answer, we'll have him do that then. Thanks.
Yes, you're keeping me awake.
Next is Raymond. Thank you, Raymond. Go ahead.
I'm delighted to say that I agree with Michael about the use of HD. It shouldn't interfere with things I don't listen to. I believe it can serve us best with music because it's a very high quality music, but not everyone has HD radio, and it is an economic injustice to put programs, as I've been told happened in Houston, to put programs that appeal to lower economic disadvantaged folks and put those things on HD. I'm not suggesting that at all. I think it's music that is the primary market for HD. And if we could add to our music programming something besides Afro-Cuban, Latinx, Middle East, hip-hop,
15 seconds.
We might get back some of us oldies but goodies. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Ruth.
My statement is not relevant to Stuart, so I'll pass until, you know, you do all the questions that you wanted Stuart to answer. Thank you.
Okay, we have Bella. I will move you to down the list. Ruth, the other person on the stack at this point is Bella. So I'll ask first, is what you're going to ask or say specific to Stuart, Bella? If so, we can go ahead and collect the rest of the questions for Stuart. And if not, then we'll just go ahead and let Ruth take her regular turn and you can follow her.
Yes, go ahead and let Ruth. I'll go after her. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Ruth, you're on.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, without any harsh feelings or anything, I do not think it would be a good idea to have call-ins to every show. I think that would decrease content and possibly, you know, alienate people who wanted to hear more content. I do think that there could be on the KPFK website, each host could have email for people to write in comments, and people could be encouraged to write in their comments to the individual listeners, and it could be set up in a user-friendly way. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. And then there's Bella. Go ahead, Bella.
Yes, thank you. So I wanted to just let Stuart, I don't know exactly when Stuart Landau came in, but I believe it was maybe 9 years ago, somewhere around there. I am speaking of October, specifically October 2008, when then the general manager that had converted KPFK into the most thriving community station, she was pushed out October 2008. And I always harp back to that to educate everyone. But that is when we had a full-time news department. We were out in the community covering news on the moment, real time, and then playing the highlights throughout the day. We had a thriving community calendar around the day. We had sponsors, sponsorship of not programming, but events. Community events were being sponsored because we have a policy for that. We had everything that a community radio station could have, and a thriving, jumping around programming grid. The programming grid reflected the signal area. So, and this featured as many call-in programs as you can count in your fingers.
Fine, please.
I urge us all to go back to that time, so that we can start raising the money that we need only 3 times a year, over $1 million. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, and regular reports to the listeners with call-ins. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that brings us to the end of the stack so far. We had a question for Stuart, I think, having to do with HD Radio again. Are you still with us, Stuart?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Did you want to take on that most recent question?
Could you repeat the question briefly, and I'll just get right back to it? Yeah.
I think that question was from Raymond. Do you want to repeat your question for Stuart, Raymond?
I have no question for Stuart.
Okay. Who was it that had the
enormous
was it Jonathan? Was it Jonathan that had a question for Stuart?
Yes, I think so.
Jonathan, are you there? Jonathan, are you muted?
The question was, what is HD radio and how does it work? I know that somebody did ask that. And the HD, by the way, doesn't stand for high definition. It stands for hybrid digital.
Right.
So that's the question.
It sounds...
just put as a note to this, I just sent out to the entire committee, at least everyone I had email addresses for that got the notice today, I sent the Wikipedia link to HD radio. So if you want to read later, you can do that. And right now we have a professional, an expert in the field, who can answer our questions. So go ahead, Stuart. Thank you.
I know nothing, but okay.
no more than we do.
HD radio was an attempt to not only provide listeners with a really good listening experience, but to give the programmer up to three additional revenue streams or programming. So we have HD1 is just a digital version of the main program. 2, 3, and 4 are very few stations are running actually 2, 3, and 4. KKGO being one of them. They run, I don't know what they're running now, classical and jazz and country music and all this stuff. But you could have, if you're a commercial station, you could rent them out. What we did have as a source of income, among other things, it's what's called an SCA. And that was leasing a relatively low quality audio stream on our station. It was being leased to Radio Korea for $10,000 a month for many, many years, and then they stopped it because they had a money problem. I mean, we could instantly put something on there. It requires a low, very low-cost, dedicated radio receiver, and those can be ordered from China. It would be for a specific station, ours, and a specific SCA, but... that's what Radio Korea was doing to provide their people, their listeners with the program. I've only been with KPFK for a little less than 5 years, or 4 years. So that's between 4 and 5. In any case, I don't know much of the history of other people. I came in when Leslie was GM, and she didn't last terribly long after I had arrived. And then it was taken over by Christine as an interim. But, you know, when you're trying to do something as complex as run a station and you don't have a GM there, it's pretty difficult to make good, lasting decisions. Thank you.
Lawrence to the stat chair.
Thank you, Lawrence. I think, I think that you're actually up now.
So Andrew to the staff. Andrew, please.
Andrew after that. And I'll take just a moment to ask, anybody else want to get on the stack?
Maria Skelton, just to have Stuart repeat his info.
What would you like to know?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to cut in. Just your email. Sorry, but I don't want to cut in. I'll be on the stack and wait. It's just the information. That's it. The email.
It's S as in sugar, Landau, Landau, at kpfk.org.
Thank you.
Okay, then, Lawrence, you're up. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for conducting such a civil and very constructive meeting. I also like to thank Stu. For some reason, Stu, I thought you'd been around longer than you stated. One day is like a year at Pacifica. So the discussion on HD, I understand that the radio stations may be able to obtain inexpensive prices to log it on to the broadcast network. My concern is the digital divide and the fact that people who are marginalized economically or culturally or systemically are going to have more of an issue with being able to obtain the radio, the HD radios. So if you could address that, Stuart, I would appreciate it. But I do like the discussion. I know at KPFT, they were able to essentially disenfranchise all the programmers, Spanish language programmers, and programmers of color by taking them off the dial and putting them in HD frequencies. Thank you, Maria. If you could address that for me, Stuart, I'd appreciate it. And thank you. And please don't scream out like that, whoever that is.
She was telling you time was up.
Do you want to give him a few seconds for him being yelled at? I mean, not yelled at, but for the interruption? That wasn't me.
Okay, sorry. I didn't. We need
someone
from you to get.
I think you're doing a great job keeping the time. I know what that's like because I do it on the PNB. So thank you so much, Beth. I don't have anything else to say.
Okay. Thank you. So, Andrew Weiss is next.
Can you hear me? Sue for the stack.
Okay, I'll put you on. Maria, did you get what you needed in terms of the email address? Did you still want to be on the stack?
I needed. Thank you so much.
Okay, then I'll put Sue down after Andrew.
Jonathan on the stack, please.
Okay. Jonathan will be after Sue.
May I answer a question before I leave the meeting?
Yes. Are you leaving now?
Soon. Within minutes.
I'll grant you a point of personal privilege given that you're not going to be able to stay with us. So please go ahead now.
Lawrence, the FM non-HD continues on regular radio. If you have HD, say, 2 or 3. And I think, as Mr. Landau noted, many stations have put music, which requires some somewhat more delicate and perfect signal, onto HD. I think it would be dreadful to do anything other than that. Thank you.
Thank you. Was that, Chair, may I ask who that was? Was that Michael or Raymond?
Raymond.
That was Raymond Goldstone.
Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Raymond.
Welcome.
And thank you for joining us today, and for getting that in before you left.
Goodbye, everyone.
Sorry. Next up is Andrew.
Thank you, Beth. I fully agree with Stuart that local programming, a focus on local programming, is the key to our success. I think that's what people want to know first, what's going on in their own community before they find out what's going on in the rest of the world. While rest of the world is important too, but community first, local first. And then also I'd like to acknowledge to Stuart that what's going on at the station, I acknowledge the staff is incredibly challenged, and with what they have, they're doing an incredible job as usual, but especially now. But I'd also like to acknowledge that if the listeners don't know what's going on through through dialogue with the listeners on air on a regular basis. They draw their own conclusions, and oftentimes they become critical, which is what I find a lot right now. So we need to inform the listeners so they do know what's going on and we can help out and understand what's going on. I'd also like to point out with the Pacifica Listener Forum that I co-coordinate, which we do monthly, now twice monthly, conference calls such as this. Our interim general manager, Mo Thomas, came on 3, maybe 4 times, I don't remember, and he was always the star, just as you are now, right now, Stuart. The folks want to communicate with the staff and management. That is so obvious to me. And I invite Stuart to participate. I'll send him the information by email. But also, I would like to see on air monthly, or better yet, weekly, one-hour shows that we have these dialogues more, and we build community, and we incorporate the listeners more into what's going on at our station. And thank you again, Stuart, for participating. This is great of you. Thank you. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Andrew. Next up is Sue. Go ahead, Sue.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thanks. Is there another Sue other than me that Lawrence was speaking to earlier? This is Sue Cohen-Johnson, and I've been around the station since 1984. Was Stuart saying that the hybrid digital is the same thing as the SCA subcarrier? And Houston has HD 1 and 2. And people sometimes say that we should have an HD and have it be all Spanish. Is that a good idea?
Well, that's really a programming issue, and probably not. And there is not inexpensive equipment available to receive it, as far as I'm aware. So, but that's more political than it is a technical situation. The HD does not degrade from the main program that we've been listening to for the last 51 years or whatever it is. So, I mean, it's nothing like that. It just adds to it. The SCA is a relatively low quality. You wouldn't want to put music on it. It's just for speech, just for talk shows and that sort of thing. But, you know, it costs us nothing. We've already got it, but and we're not using it now that Radio Korea has gone away. And Mo certainly has been pushing for HD, and I said, well, that's fine if we're looking out, you know, a year, 2 years, whatever. But we have some, you know, much more immediate problems in that, once again, I don't know if they're going to make payroll. I don't know how it's going to happen. The fund drive doesn't start until, I believe, the 5th of October, which is well past the next payroll. So we've got some real problems.
Can we sell the HD?
I don't believe we can, unless it's a nonprofit or something like that. I don't know exactly what the rules are, since we're a nonprofit. In terms of, yes, that would be wonderful if we could. And we were certainly doing that with the SCA, but I'm not sure it can be done with the HD. I'll have to inquire about that. We were getting $10,000 a month for the SCA, from Radio Korea, but that was going to National, not to KPFK. So
right.
We never saw the money, and we never credited for it.
KPFT leases one to Rice University. I don't know if there's a fee involved or not.
Michael,
well,
are you on the floor? Do you have the floor?
Oh,
I did.
Oh. Okay, I think that completes Sue's time. And that leaves Jonathan on the stack next.
Okay, Stuart, are you leaving now, or are you still on the call?
Could I ask Jonathan, could I ask you just to pause for just a moment and let me ask, are there others who want onto the stack now so that I can get a list again? Anybody up next?
Mike, for one last time, I promise.
and Michael Novick.
Okay, thank
I'd like
you.
I'd like to back the motion.
Okay.
Anybody else?
My point about the HD, the thing that I didn't bring up the last time I spoke is that I believe that the most damaging thing of HD, in my opinion, other than what's already been stated by Lawrence and Raymond, which is very serious, is that I only think HD should be used for one channel, and that is to simply simulcast, that is, broadcast at the same time the regular signal is going out over analog transmission. So simply, it's basically to reach HD radio listeners. I do not agree in any way, shape, or form with splitting up the content into HD 2, 3, and 4. And it doesn't matter the issue of cost. This, I believe, is the biggest mistake of all. Because really, we need to have our audience unified in terms of what it's listening to. The rest of the internet can supply any source content that anybody wants to either podcast, and there's plenty of other channels on HD to listen to. I do not believe it's appropriate to split up the content of the...
15 seconds. I'm sorry.
To split up the programming of the KPFK's content over four separate additional signals. I think that's simply a balkanization of our content instead of having us have a unified political socio-political effect in the environment. Thank you.
Sorry, who's speaking?
Janine to the stack.
Who was that speaking?
Jonathan.
Thank you. I'm putting you down, Janine.
Well, I just didn't understand any of that. There was so much interruption. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a coherent of a statement, like, from beginning to end. And so I don't know.
Janine, someone else is ahead of you. I've got notes down from what Jonathan said. If people want back on the stack, I can put you back on.
Are you talking to me? I'm sorry, this is Jonathan.
So if you want back on the stack, Jonathan, I can put you on after Janine.
I only need to know if Stuart heard me. I was just saying that I do not think HD should be used for any other reason but to simulcast the single content coming out of KPFK's regular analog transmission, that we should not have HD 2, 3, or 4. Only HD, just one channel, basically repeating the same signal through HD's digital system.
I'll remain agnostic on that. It's more of a political and programming decision than it is a technical one. It can be done either way.
Yes, but I think it's fully appropriate for you to comment on it now. If you don't agree, that's fine. I just think that it's very important for us to consider what is the purpose of balkanizing the signal.
Jonathan, your time is you've depleted your time.
Fine, please.
I'm going to guess that is there anything else you wanted to say about that, Stuart? Technically, you want to address the technicality
of that? I think we should speak to Mo about their experience, and he's involved with both Houston and Washington D.C. See what they've done with their programming and how it's been received by the audience. I don't know.
Okay. All right. In that case, then, Mike is up next. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, thank you. Since I'm the one who brought this up, and to some extent, I apologize, but I'm glad I did. I just want to make it clear to Jonathan and Mr. Reyes that in no way, shape, or form am I advocating throwing the stuff that's on the station now down to the 2, 3, 4. I'm simply saying this. Everybody talks about underserved communities, and this might be a way to serve more of the people that we just can't shoehorn into 24 hours on the main carrier. Since I do have connections to HD Radio and have helped develop some products with HD Radio, I'm happy to volunteer to write a brief, no more than two-page summary of what it is. And in terms of digital divide, I'm happy to talk to HD Radio and see what products are out there that might be affordable to people who would want to take advantage of those streams, and also to get sort of a census of which cars have it. Because once you have it, it's free. And I think it's just worth exploring. This is not at all an attempt on my part to disenfranchise the people who are on the air now. And I just want to make sure that that's understood. If you want me to do a research paper on it, that's what I do for a living. I'm happy to do it.
Fine, Michael, this is Beth, who's chairing. And I don't think I have an email address for you. Do you have an email address for me?
No, I don't, but hey, we're all friends here. I can tell you my email address.
Okay. Yours is probably nowhere near as long as mine, so that makes more sense. And then if you want to, whatever you want to write up, I can distribute to the entire committee if you'd care to do that.
I'm very happy to do that. That's what I do for a living.
Okay. Do you want to give me your address now, or shall I
sure.
if you're going to
sure.
say?
No, that's
okay.
fine. No, it's MHH at Michael Heiss, spelled out, that's my name, .com. MHH at MichaelHeiss.com.
H-E-I-S-S, right?
MichaelHeiss.com. That's correct.
.com. Okay. Then I will email you after this, and you can email me whatever you want to write, and I will see to it that it gets to the rest of the committee after this.
My pleasure. Give me a week or two. It's a little busy right now.
That's okay. We won't meet for another month yet, so there's time.
Good.
And
Chair, this is can I have a point of personal privilege? I have to go because I have to. I'm late for another meeting. So thank you so much for chairing the meeting, and I look forward to your notes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Then I'm going to we're coming up to 6 o'clock. Michael, what I'd like to do is wrap up the remaining people on the stack and then move to your motion after that, if that's okay. Is that okay with you? Michael Novick? Did we
That's
lose
fine.
Michael?
That's fine.
Is that okay? Okay. Thank you. Then we still have Janine, Jonathan, I guess Lawrence just said goodbye, and I'll put myself at the end of the stack. So Janine, you're next. Please go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I had to go and come back, so I've missed a chunk of this conversation. I just didn't understand the one, the Jonathan comment, and because there were a couple of people speaking over it, but, that isn't worth repeating, I don't think, right now. Thank you.
Okay. Then, Jonathan, did you want one last
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Then, and Lawrence is gone, so that brings, I should offer one last chance to Stuart, if there's anything else you wanted to say before you go. We go.
No, I'm very pleased that I was invited to this, and I think that the key to this understanding and is communications, and we need to know. You know, there's certainly questions that we have, so we each have our own expertise, and the more we share, I think the better it is for everybody, and ultimately to the station. So thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you for coming. It was a very brave thing to do given the world we all live in. want to acknowledge that up front.
Okay. Can I make a comment to, because I have to leave as well, to Stuart. I want to thank him very much. And I don't think I want to say brave. I think that we hardly ever get a management figure in committees. And if this begins to replicate, this is the way the LSB and the staff can begin to form an alliance, because that's what the governance system is. And so that's what we have been lacking so many years. And I think it's a wonderful exchange, and it's a give and take. Thank you, Stuart.
Well, you're welcome. At the moment, there are only three managers, myself, Barry, who is the financial director, and now our new general manager. So
right.
We need to expand.
Yes, but unfortunately, we can go into that later. I can write you. Thank you.
And Andrew wanted one last word.
Yes, I second what Bella just said. And I want to thank Stuart for acknowledging that communication is key. Once again, communication between management and staff and the LSB and the listeners, we all need to be communicating, I think, and preferably on air, as in addition to in these committees, but on air where we can invite in all the listeners. This is such a limited group. We want to invite all the listeners. And I would add to what Bella said, not only opening up the lines of communication between and the collaboration between management and the LSB, but add the listeners to that as well. Management, LSB, and listeners. And again, thank you, Stuart. I hope you do return as well, and you bring your fellow managers along with you. And thank you, Beth, for hosting.
Thank you, Andrew. So I guess that brings us now to myself as the final comment. So I'm going to try to rattle off as much of this as I can in 90 seconds. HD radio is interesting because it offers options. Some of my concerns are that I, for one, live with the digital divide. Not everybody has internet at home. Not everybody has a smartphone in their hand. Not everybody has unlimited data. I do all my Pacifica work on my smartphone, but I listen to broadcast radio, and I'm very much concerned. I have a longstanding interest and involvement in community emergency responses here at the county level. HD radio is internet dependent and therefore will not be as robust in emergencies as what we have at least the potential to be through broadcast radio. So from my perspective in emergency response, and risk management, I want to be sure that our primary commitment is to the broadcast signal, also because that's what our signal, our license is dependent on, and it's defined by a geographic community, which digital is not. So that's one concern. At some point in the future, I'd like to talk more about the potential for us to position ourselves to be the go-to source for emergency communications in a disaster, because a lot of signals are going to go down. A lot of signals won't reach as far as we do. But if people find us in that moment, they will never forget us. They will never forget us. I speak as someone who fled the Thomas Fire and have evacuated from a number of other disasters up here in this region. And the first thing you do is, you know, you want to be sure you've got your broadcast radio, your emergency radio, where you can reach it and that it's charged, and then you seek a signal. I want us to be that signal, and I want us to have content ready. But we'll save that for another time. I just put that out there now. We're going to have to forego the thumbs up, thumbs down this month, I think, because we've kind of expended all our time on this commentary. I didn't know till earlier today that we'd have the opportunity to talk to with Stuart. So we'll save the thumbs up, thumbs down for next time. Right now, Michael says he has a motion, and that will be our closing. I'll have a couple brief announcements after that, and then we'll be adjourned. So, Michael?
I would like to say something, too, when Michael's finished.
Me, too.
So you want another stack?
No, I just wanted to say thank you, and this was great.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
This is Janine. I have one more comment, too, if we're taking a few more.
If this is about what Michael's going to say, then let's wait till after Michael does it. Otherwise, let's finish with all the stack first. So, if that's okay, Michael,
yeah.
Is that okay?
If I can just state the motion, it's too close to 6 to really discuss it today, and I think a number of people have left the call already. So, I just wanted to reintroduce the motion from the Program Oversight Committee. That annual evaluation of programming include self-evaluation, peer evaluation by other programmers and producers, listener evaluation through focus groups and listener feedback forms, and management evaluation. So it's going to be a discussion. We can't have it today. I just wanted to notice that I'd like to get that on an agenda, and it can be next month.
Go ahead.
I want to say another thing about HD. I'll write it up and send it to you.
Okay.
HD is not on the internet. HD is broadcast. It's a change in the signal, so it's a digital signal. They changed TV. All TV is now HDTV. There's no longer an analog television signal, but it's over the airwaves. It's broadcast. That does not require internet. It's just a separate receiver because it has to be a digital receiver.
What I've read is, just very briefly, what I've read is different from that. I would refer you to the Wikipedia page I sent, and clearly we all have a lot to learn about this. I want to learn everything I can. If I've got it wrong, then I'd like to know that. I'll be checking, and we can continue with this conversation in the future. I will, if I can talk him into it, I'm going to do my best to invite Stuart back here to do a focused one whole meeting on KPFK Tech, where we stand.
Oh, send me some M&Ms and I'll do it.
Okay. You got a deal. You got a deal. And Michael, if you can send me that the wording for that motion, I'll see to it that it's in the agenda ahead of time so that people get it ahead and can read it and we can talk about it. Okay?
Will do.
I'm going to send everybody the template for the programming grid if there's any time at our next meeting so that we can go over that as well.
Quickie.
I'm taking a stack here. Sue and Janine, and was there anybody else? Sue, go ahead.
Please put me down as attending this meeting unless I'm too late so that I can have my 3 meetings to become a member.
Thank you. I already have.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. And Janine?
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to mention when you brought up, Beth, you made your comment about responding to emergencies, et cetera. I heard recently that Oscar Ulloa had put forward a motion, I don't know whether it was at this committee or on the national level, to have a sort of a troop of people that would be in standby mode to be able to report at any given time that the station could call upon in those times, not necessarily a regional requirement, where somebody would need to live a certain area, but that if something were to come up at City Hall or or whatever it might be. And I was wondering if anybody on the committee knows more about that, because I thought it was actually a very good idea. Thank you.
Bella knows about it.
Too quickly.
I'm putting your names.
I'm taking a stack. Bella first and then Sue, and then I'll respond to that too.
Yes, that was at the National Programming Committee. And is Pacifica Out in the Street. That is the title. And absolutely. And by the way, we used to do that back in the days. KPFK had people reporting from all sites regarding the street raids. That was the focus then. And that was very successful. And then it would get reported on KPFK and through the news. So, yeah, that is very important, and I would like for us to thank you, Janine, for bringing that up. That's important.
Go ahead, Sue, have a follow-up?
Who is that?
Janine, one moment, Sue.
Who else wants? Who wants on the stack? Somebody was asking for a follow-up.
That was Janine. I just wanted to know if that is a pending motion somewhere, or what happened with it. Is this something that is being considered right now to start again?
I'm so sorry. It has not been passed by the PNB. It's pending. It needs support. And Oscar Ulloa is now running, by the way, from the LSB. To get back on that committee. So that's the status that I know of. And Nancy Sebarat, I always have difficulty pronouncing her last name, from KPFD, she is the person that can give us more details on that and an update. I can write to her. Yeah.
Thank you. And Sue, you want to?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
About 7 years ago, I brought my cell phone in with a recording for the news department, and they looked at me like I was from Mars, and I don't think they knew at that time how to take something from a cell phone and put it on the air. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so this is Beth, and regarding, I think there's a distinction between what I've referred to as emergency response or emergency preparedness and this Pacifica in the Streets proposal, and it sounds like there's a place, like I think we need them both. What I've referred to is I was trained through community emergency response teams, and they give like basic instruction in actual hands-on response to physical emergencies, like how do you put a fire out, and you do it in the class, and how do you conduct a search of a building, how do you decide whether it's safe to conduct a search of a building or not, how do you do basic first aid and triage. How do you organize an effort like that? And the training's free. It's through the county, usually through the fire department. I encourage anybody who has that option to take it, because, I mean, I grew up in small farm town Indiana where pretty much everybody was considered to be part of the emergency response crew, you know? Everybody just pitched in. I knew the practicalities, but I learned a lot, and I think we need to stand up something like that at the station, and preferably with starting with the people who are nearest the station in a position to respond.
Fine, please.
Thank you. So,
Maria to the stack.
Maria? Go ahead.
Yes, please.
Your turn.
Oh, okay, wait, time is up. I'm in a class as well. I took it. I'm still taking it, the third class. That is extremely important. I'm glad you did.
bring that up for the emergency. I agree with Andrew. Hi, Andrew. It's always good to hear you. When you spoke on management and staff, I really believe in that, management and staff working together and getting along. But I just wanted to chime in on that CERT training, Beth. I wish you can push that more. That is a much-needed training. Thank you.
Thank you. I am working on it through other venues in Pacifica, and I hope to stand that up here soon. Thanks. Is that, have we, we've got Michael's motion down for next meeting. We'll know more about that then. And I think we've exhausted the stack for now. Is there anyone else before we close the stack?
Yes, I'm sorry, Beth. It's Mike. I just want to clarify for you. HD Radio, as I want to reaffirm what Michael Novick said, does not require an internet connection. That's the whole point of it. I've designed internet radio products. They do not require an internet connection. They're strictly off air. I just want to make sure there's no confusion.
I'll respond to that very briefly. It's not the reception I was referring to. It's the transmission from the studio.
Beth, can Fred respond? Michael, I'm
Fred
an electronics engineer, and Michael is actually correct. What HD Radio is involved in is sharing a digital bit stream that is on the same carrier as the analog. And that bitstream carries an analog audio signal. And where the HD radio comes in is they patented a compression method that they get a licensing fee on every decoder chip that goes into each HD radio. So you have to use HD radio's encoder chip at the transmitter to encode the analog signals. So they also get a licensing fee on the transmitter side too. But it has nothing to do with internet. Internet's just a method of delivering the analog signal up to the transmitter. Maybe.
Right. Right.
The station or the listener?
15 seconds, please.
It's clear there's a lot of interest in this and that most of us have more to learn and some of us can help enlighten the rest of us. I will schedule something more on this for a future meeting. I want to thank Stuart
Andrew to the
for...
Start, please.
Okay, Andrew, we're going to take you, and you're going to be the last speaker before we wind up the meeting. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Beth. This first comment is not directed at any one individual, to the entire group. I would like to request everybody to respect the process of discussion. And what I mean is people keep just speaking up when they want, when they have something to say without being recognized by the host, who is Beth right now, and I find that incredibly disruptive and not fair to everybody who's on this call and participating. People, whether it be just to answer a question or to start speaking about something you want to speak about, I think that is out of order and is not good for the process. Wait for the host to recognize you. Secondly, it just occurred to me that I don't think everybody at KPFK and Pacifica, recognize just what we have going on here. Here we are, a group of people, listeners, LSB members and staff, talking about our own radio station, which has the most powerful signal on the West Coast. And here we are discussing what we want on it, what's good for it, et cetera. And how great is that? And we're doing something wrong. We should not be struggling. We've got incredible something going on here. And I'm not saying the solution is what New Day Pacific is proposing. I'm saying
we all get along and recognize what we have and move forward with it, and we thrive, which is what we ought to be doing and can be doing. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Andrew. So I'm going to wind it up now with two last closing announcements. Our next meeting will be Monday, October 18, 2021 at 4 p.m. The same access information, trying to keep it as consistent as possible and predictable as possible so people know when and where to find us. And beyond that, next, the same day, Monday, October 18, 2021, at 7 p.m. will be our next community advisory board meeting. I've gone out of my way to schedule 4 meetings for the whole coming year and make sure that they're posted. No matter who ends up chairing those meetings, at least we've staked out those dates, one meeting per quarter, which is what it takes to comply and qualify with CPB requirements. We can do more than that if we want to, but at least this gets placeholders in place for the minimal requirements. And this, we've had one meeting in July. That was I thought that was a pretty good meeting. I enjoyed that meeting. A lot of you were there with us. And the next one will be immediately following our next Programming Oversight Committee on October 18th at 7. And that's all I've got for the day.
May I have a minute, please? This is Lydia.
Hi, Lydia. You want to post?
Hi.
You haven't spoken yet today.
On the phone call. Yeah. No. I've been listening and learning, because that's what I'd like to do. I just want to thank everybody for being cordial and gentle and kind with one another, and I look forward to having this conversations as multifaceted solutions based. And I thank you for your time, Beth. I thank our timekeeper, and thank you, everyone. Have a blessed evening.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn, Bella.
Motion to adjourn. I guess
in
being committee, we don't need a second. Is there any discussion?
Well, I second it just in case, and thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for all taking time to come again and again and again.
No problem.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a blessed one. Thank you.
Feel free to be in touch through the month if there's anything that you want to discuss. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.